any of you that may not know or may not have known, a while back Ground Zero went under some pretty big changes as Jack kind of recruited our youth pastors as associate pastors over here now. And so therefore somebody had to step up and kind of take over there, and who else than the college kids that wouldn't leave. So they promoted us a little bit. And we went through some rough times at the beginning. Still go through plenty of difficult times. But I'm very proud to say that I'm able to stand up here and say that we have now gone from a staff of 4 to a staff of 5 with the addition of Micah. He has been added on as part of the Ground Zero staff. So not only is the staff growing, but the group is growing. I don't know if you noticed, but there's quite a few more people up on the stage than what we used to have. And they bring in quite a few people because they're both in bands, and so they bring in more people. And I've got so many guitar players, I don't know what to do with them. And so Ground Zero is definitely growing, and let me tell you why. It's because we went from being just a group of leaders that everybody wanted to lead and nobody wanted to follow, to where we finally, we picked somebody to be in charge of it, and Spencer's now in charge of Ground Zero. And it's not just about, oh, what Spencer says, Spencer goes. And Spencer doesn't lead it that way. Spencer leads it as a teamwork. He has spent a lot of time working, all of us have, and making it a team. So it comes to a point to where it's not just what a person says goes. We look at each other's weaknesses, and we fill that in with each other's strengths. So therefore, it's a well-rounded team, and over there we have a great time. We get a little loud, but it's a good time, isn't it? Jesse and Ty have a good time. So, like Eric said, we're going to Falls Creek a week from tomorrow. I'm excited. We don't have bracelets for you this year, unfortunately, but I do ask that you start praying for the group that is going, not just students, but adults also, because it is a very important week. Not only do we get to go down there and just, well, they get to get away from their parents for a week. Not only do they get that, but we get to go down there and we get to spend one-on-one time with God. Not just them, but us too. And we spend one-on-one time with God. And we get to really experience God and His love and everything that He has for us. I mean, you go down there, there's something about excluding yourself from the world that just helps you hear God so much easier. And then we also get to really invest time into the one thing that is really misvalued these days, and that's fellowship. And we get to just hang out and have a good, goofy time with everybody. And so today we're going to talk about the title of it's A Walk to Remember. And we're going to talk about a story that you guys might, well, probably are familiar with, when Jesus walked on water. And this happens in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22-33. And as we open up there, I just want to say that over at Ground Zero, not only am I kind of the worship leader for the group, but a while back I had to take over planning out sermons and doing all this stuff. And let me just tell you, back in junior high, when I used to have to give a book report at the front of the class, my knees were shaking and I almost came to tears one time because I was so nervous. And luckily things have changed since then. But otherwise this could be awkward. No. So I'd take over doing sermons and planning it out. And luckily I've actually been on a break for almost 2 months now because Adam came over and he's doing an 8-week series with him. And it's definitely a great series talking about character traits and discipleship and really just kind of examining things. But what we like to do over there is maybe a little bit different. It's almost like this is going to be a Bible study, which in my opinion technically it should be. But we're really going to not just skim the top of things. We're really going to break it down, dig into it. And that's what we try to do over there. That way everybody gets everything that God has for them. That way we don't miss out on stuff. And so, if we stop and go a lot here, just bear with me if you would. So we're looking at verse 22, and it says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone." And as we stop right there, we see a couple of very important character traits about Jesus. And that's the fact that he made his father his priority. He would send away all of his friends, everybody that was there to see him. He'd send them away just so that he could go spend time with God. Okay, how many times in our lives do we stand there? And this really relates to a younger crowd, I guess. Friends, they always want to hang out. I mean, Jesse calls me every day. Can we hang out? I'm just kidding. He doesn't. But usually you're going to have somebody calling you every day wanting to hang out. And if we hang out all the time instead of spending time with God, what is our life going to be based around? It's going to be based around our friends. For a little bit of a different crowd, if you hang out at work all the time, I, as a 21-year-old, don't understand who would want to do that, but some people do. If you hang out at work all the time, what do you base your life around? You base your life around work. Okay, one thing that we really tend to miss is things of God can also get in the way of God. And that's the fact that whenever we like our family time or our time with the golf course, Andrew and I go out every chance we get. Times at the bowling alley. My parents used to go bowling. Seemed like every night of the week, or the casinos. Whenever we spend more time doing these other things instead of spending time with God is when our life kind of centers itself around those things instead of what it should be centered around, and that's God. So as we look at this, Jesus really made God his priority. And see, if we take God and we push everything else aside, and we set him as the center of our lives, not just necessarily your top priority. You set him the center, and then let everything else kind of form itself around him. Everything will be of him, and he will have his hand in everything that you do. So we make God the center of our lives. And today I ask that right where you are, just if everybody will bow your heads real quick and just say this prayer. Say, "Dear God, I ask that you come in here. Open up my heart. Open up my ears. Let me hear what you have to say today. Let your word take root. Let me learn these lessons. And let me apply this to my life. In Jesus' name. Amen." As we go on and we look at verse 24, it says, "But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea." Verse 26, "When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' In verse 28, Peter said to him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus." Okay. Now, first off, I just got to say, if I'm out chilling on my yacht one day, you know, having a good old time, maybe having a barbecue. Well, I actually don't have a yacht, but let's say I was. And my homeboy comes walking up to me, just kind of strolling across the lake. I'm going to be freaked out too. Actually, I'm going to be tempted to do one of two things. The first one, freak out and kind of yell at him. The second one is to possibly throw something at him. I don't know for any of you fans that like to skip rocks down a river. It's just an opportunity that I wouldn't really want to pass up. But as we look at verse 27, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.'" In our lives, we have these desires to be used by God. We have these desires for God to do great things through us. And sometimes they may seem a little far-fetched, but other times they may seem a little bit graspable. That's a word, to where we think we could almost do it on our own. Okay, and so what we do is we pray, we say, "God, please use me, you know, take me to the ends of the earth for you. Let me do just great things for you, God." We cry that out and we ask him to. And once he actually decides, okay, yeah, it's time, let's take you from where you are and take you to this place, we get a little freaked out at times. And Jesus says, "It is I, do not be afraid. Take courage." And we get a little freaked out as in we like our comfort zone. We like to be sitting in our recliner with our remotes right where we like them. That pillow right in the back of where you need it. Got to have that pillow in that place and your footrest is perfect. We got the TV set at the right volume to be just loud enough over the fan that we have just sitting right next to us. We got the window with the blind set up to where the reflection of the sun off of the car doesn't blind us as it comes in. And God says, I can't use you in this comfort zone. So what he does is he takes us, and it may be kind of, it freaks you out at first, but he pulls you out of that comfort zone. He puts you in a zone of where you're uncomfortable. And the reason he does that is because once you lose your recliner with your pillow and your remotes set in the perfect place with your TV at the right volume and the blinds set at the right angle, once you lose all that, we have nothing to hide behind anymore. And so therefore, God takes us from this comfort zone and puts us in a zone to where we're uncomfortable. That way we have nothing to hide behind. That way we have nothing to put in front of us and God. We have nothing to put in between us. And what happens here is then we are caused to surrender everything over to him and just lift it up and say, God, use me. I'm yours. Let your will be done. And as we look at this, if you're desiring to be used by God today, just cry out and say, God, pull me from this comfort zone. I'm tired of being in this comfort zone to where I'm hiding from you. I'm making my life about other things other than you. And as we look at these comfort zones, and it goes on in verse 28, as it says, Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. So we're standing here at a point in our life where Jesus is very clearly saying, come, I need you to do this. I've already pulled you from this comfort zone. You're as uncomfortable as you can be. Trust me. Trust him. He knows. And it's not over there. It takes what Peter did. He stepped out of that boat in faith. If Peter would have stayed in that boat, Jesus could have sat there and said, come all day. Nothing would have ever changed. It took Peter to step out in faith out of that boat. And I believe that far too many times we just expect God to do it all. And we just want to sit in the boat and wait for him to take care of it. And so we look at it some more in verse 30. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you have little faith, why did you doubt? But seeing the wind, well, I know a lot of you think, well, the wind's kind of invisible. You don't really see it. At least I don't see it unless it's, I guess, a tornado or something like that. Then it picks up the dirt, or what are those dust storms called? That's about the only time you'll really see the wind. But what it means by seeing the wind is he's on a lake. Peter's standing out in the water by now. And far off in the bank, he could have seen the trees moving from the wind. The boat could have started to sway from the wind that was hitting it. There could have been a fluff in Jesus' beard. Who knows? It happens. So there's many ways that he could physically see the wind. He could see the impact of the wind on other people. And when we look at the impact of what things do to other people's lives, and then we see them kind of cruising up next to us as we're cruising through life, we start to freak out about it. Not necessarily does it actually impact us or have any effect on our lives, but we make it have an effect on our lives for the fact that we make it an issue. It actually never becomes an issue, but we make it one. We cause it to be an issue. And when life becomes rough, situations arise, what's the best thing to do? To sit on our own and think that we can take care of it? Or to do what Peter did and cry out to Jesus? Because what does it say in verse 31? Immediately, Jesus reached out there, grabbed his hand, took hold of him, and he pulls him to safety. If you're in a tough spot right now and you feel like, I can take care of this, but then everything just kind of starts to feel like it's weighing in on you, that right there is what needs to be done. Cry out to Jesus. Stop thinking that we can do it on our own, because the fact is you can't. And the longer we just sit there waiting to step out of that boat, the longer it's going to take. And it comes to a point, like really, we think our issues don't matter to Jesus. We think, oh, this is too small. They got oil spills in the Gulf Coast, flooding in Tennessee and I believe Arkansas now. Or is it Kansas? One of them. And there's all these disasters going on everywhere. And you just start to think, well, my little bitty issues aren't of importance at this time. But it comes to a point where it's almost like the love of a mother or a father. And by that I mean this is when I first started coming to church, it was summer before junior year and in high school. And I would hang out with Spencer. We were becoming better friends because we were on the drum line and played in band and just kind of hung out all the time. Because when you're in marching band, that's your life. You practice constantly. You don't have nothing else. And Spencer would invite me to church every Wednesday and say, hey, you got to come to church. I'm just like, no, I'm not a churchgoer. Who's a churchgoer before they start going to church? I don't know. So Spencer tried to get me to come to church a couple times. Kept telling him no. And one night he was hanging out at my house. And he was getting ready to leave to go to church. And he said, hey, you want to come? I said, nah, I'm good. He said, okay, maybe next week. And I said, yeah, sure, maybe next week. Well, next thing I know, the phone's ringing. And who is it on the line? It is Miss Cindy Dilley. And little did I know that from now on, going to church wasn't an option that I would have the luxury of making. I was threatened that if I were not at church that night, there would be serious consequences to pay. And I know that most of you may not think, oh, well, Cindy threatening me, that's not very scary. Let me tell you firsthand, she doesn't just attack you like a crazy grizzly bear out of nowhere. She will just dig down and get you where your weaknesses are. Like, I'm pretty sure in the conversation she threatened to never feed me again. Man, I got to say, as a teenager, that's rough. And so I came to church that night. Thank God I did. Otherwise, I'd be pretty hungry right now, especially when it comes to Falls Creek, because she is our very valuable cook down there for the whole week. Keeps us all healthy. But came to church that night, started coming for the next few weeks. So it was just a good time. One night, I hadn't really accepted God yet, but you know, you kind of had that tugging on your heart that kind of happens prior to it, when God kind of starts to lure you that way, but he says it's not quite time yet. And so kind of had the tugging, and one night I just decided, well, I guess I ought to go pray for something. Everybody else is doing it. So Spencer and I walk ourselves on up to the front, and because he went with me, because at the time I couldn't do nothing on my own. So we went up there, and we got down at the altar to pray and started to say, it wasn't really a prayer of salvation or anything, which is kind of funny, because usually that would be the first one to happen. That would be the first one in line. This is just a, hey, what's up, dude? Thanks for everything, you know. You're really cool. Thanks for this place. Thanks for these people. And hanging up now. See you next week. And it was kind of one of those just prayers, you know. And next thing I know, I turn around, and I clarified this with Adam the other day. He doesn't remember how many people there were. It seemed like there were about seven people also there behind us. The first person I saw whenever I turned around was Cindy Dilley. And I tell you what, at the time, she maybe didn't know me too well. She knew that I was in band. She knew that I played drums. She knew I hung out with her son a lot. Little did she know that I was becoming the original Alan. But all she knew at the time, all that she had no doubt in her mind about at the time, was that I mattered to him, and that mattered to her. So therefore, if you're facing issues in your life today where you think, oh, this isn't very important, trust me, it is. It matters a lot. It matters an incredible amount to God. And as we continue to look at this, we look at verse 32. It says, when they got into the boat, the wind had stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's Son." And you might think, well, that's cool. Yeah. Not much relevance there. But there is. Many times we ask God, "Hey, fix this issue, take care of this problem, do this, do that. I need you to do this," you know. And when He does do that, we say, "Thanks, God. See you next time I have an issue." And it comes to a point in our life to where we have actually made God our fire escape. We go to Him whenever there's issues. We use Him for a way out. And then we leave it at that. But if we make God the center of our lives, base everything around Him, He becomes a part of everything. He has His hand in everything. And He can use us to do great things. So what this shows us is that whenever God does deliver you from something, don't just turn and walk the other way and say, "We'll see you next time." Worship God. He desires to be worshipped. He's worthy of being worshipped. And it's not necessarily just let's go to church and sing music, songs the whole time. Or play very loudly on the drums to where you sweat so much you feel like you're in a sauna. Because it gets hot in here. Worship is just our doing things to glorify God. At Selah, we have concerts. And a lot of people will walk in and see Ty and his band or Jesse and his band up there on the stage screaming their heads off. Nobody understands a thing that they're saying. But boy, do they look like they're having a good time. Let me tell you, that's worship. When they get together to do something to honor God, to glorify God through their talents, that's worship. When an artist paints to glorify God, that's worship. When Cindy Dilly goes to Falls Creek for a whole week to cook for a cabin of sometimes ungrateful, rotten adults and a bunch of nice youngsters like yourself there, Ty. That's worship. She doesn't go down there to cook for us and to make us happy. She goes down there to glorify God through food. Works for me. So as we kind of wrap up the story of Jesus walking on water, we've kind of broken it down. We've kind of pulled out everything that we probably can. But if we can just reflect upon this story real quick, and we think about it and how we broke it down and went through it, we put ourselves in Peter's shoes. And we pulled out all of the personal lessons. Well, if you would, allow yourself to be pulled from that comfort zone right now and think about it in another way. If you've accepted God into your heart and Christ has become a part of you, you're a part of Christ. And so therefore, what if you are actually meant to be in Jesus' shoes? And hear me out on that, because if you're at work or even if you're at home or school, sometimes it's the very people that sit next to you in this church. If you could be the person right there. Somebody is crying out to God, and He's trying to stretch His hand out through you. But we're too scared to step out of the boat, to let it happen, to be used by God. We're so worried it's not going to happen. We're so worried that it's not happening the way that we want it to happen. What if? What if Jesus needs to stretch His hand out to help somebody through you?
It's not hard to see that this is great imbalance and that things aren't right. You know, I know that, but for me, I suppose, it really hits home if I stop and think about that this morning can make this happen right now. In the same moment you have, you know, a generation who are sitting around entertaining themselves, watching reality television, which, to be honest, is anything but real, while you have a child who is being prostituted behind closed doors and robbed of their innocence. It's not fair that we can go about consuming every single material option that comes our way while, you know, the widow and orphan are stripped of life's basic dignities because they're victims of a conflict that simply isn't theirs. It's not fair that there's a generation who are choking on their obesity while at the same time there's 30,000 children who will die today for lack of food. It's not fair that we have no problem going about spending $3 or $4 on what is basically glorified tap water in a bottle with a fancy label, while you have entire communities who suffer at the hands of disease because the only water that they have access to is foul and polluted. It's not fair that we, you know, can sing and dance and jump around in our freedom and in our liberty while at the same time the slave remains captive, out of sight and out of mind. It's not fair that we can sit and watch the evening news from the comfort of our living rooms and pity those who lived where the storm hit or where the ground shook or where the water rose, simply feel sorry for them and then change the channel and get on with supper. Is it fair to walk past the homeless man and give him nothing in the assumption that he'll spend it on booze or cigarettes or to suggest that he should go out and get a job? I mean, who are we to judge the alcoholic or the prostitute or the addict or the criminal as if we are any better? Who are we to forget the downtrodden or the oppressed or the marginalized while we go about chasing the dream? We see this imbalance and we go, man, that's not right, that's not fair. But all too often that's all we do. Because for us to do any more is actually going to cost us something. And if that's where it ends, perhaps then it's fair to say that when we ignore the prostituted child, that we actually lend our hand to their abuse. That when we ignore the widow and the orphan in their distress, that we actually add to their pain. When we ignore the slave who remains captive, that it's us who's entrapping them. That when we forget the refugee, that it's us who's displacing them. That when we choose not to help the poor and the needy, that we actually rob them. Perhaps the only fair thing to say is that when we forsake the lives of others, we actually forsake our own.
What a powerful video that is. And it said, I don't know if you caught it towards the end, it said if we do anything more, that will cost us something. As we prepare for our baptism today, I just want to wrap up. You know, what an amazing message. We've read about walking on the water. We've heard about it. And yet it came across so differently today. And I believe that, you know, the Bible tells us God has called us to be a holy people because He is holy. As we watch the video and different things, the Bible tells us that God is shaping a holy people who will know Him and make Him known to other people. Whether we do it down the street, next door, or across the world, God is raising a holy people to know Him and to make Him known. And I think as a church body, it's time for us to embrace that change. It's time for us to acknowledge that change and come to know that stuff. We may have different dress styles. Come up here for a minute. We have different dress styles. I'd say we have different hairstyles. He has it. I don't. Okay, his shirt is different than mine. His shoes, show him your shoes there. Okay, these are mine. Okay. Different styles. Go ahead and have a seat. Thank you very much. It may be if we had hair, we wear it neat cut.
It may be that we have it shaggy and bushy. It may be that we're clean shaven all the time. It may be that we have this big, gruff beard. It may be that as a female, we desire only to wear long skirts, never pants. That we pull our hair up on top of our head or we let it down. But I think to those who know God, there is no difference. And each one of them will find the other person as holy as they are when they are in the presence of God, when they are holy that way. The one thing that's the same in those holy people, no matter what they look like, is that they bear witness that they are becoming and not yet complete in Christ. We celebrate baptisms last week and this week as a sign of their becoming, of their sign on their journey, as a sign that they're on their way but not yet complete. And we should come to every day that same way. Today is another step in my journey. And I had a setback. What does that mean? Probably means you have to charge twice as hard and twice as fast the next day to beat the enemy. As we close in prayer today before our baptism, just reflect on what Scott's message was today and what he was asking, what he was saying. Listen to what the Scriptures were telling us. Let us pray. Dear God, we just thank you for the individuality in this church, the talents you've given each and every person. While together they make you complete, Lord, we are not complete without you and without each other. God, you give us different singing styles, different speaking styles, different musical styles, different theologies, different religious styles and backgrounds. Different denominations, Lord, that we come together from those backgrounds. And we thank you for unifying us together in you. God, our desire is to become holy because you were holy. Our desire is to know you and to make you known. God, help us as a church realize that we don't get it just on a Sunday. We don't get it just on a Wednesday. But God, we get that by our own digging and driving and determination day after day after day in our private time with you. When we read about you and we know about you. When we pray to you. We talk to you. We ask you. We plead with you. And then we sit back in silence, simply waiting for you to respond. And we simply obey. When you tell us to come out of our comfort zone, Lord, that we come out of our comfort zone. God, when you tell us to cry out to you, and we cry out to you, finally realizing and accepting the fact that we cannot do this on our own. God, your word says in Psalm 107, verse 6, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. God, today there's people in distress in this church. There's people in a comfort zone in this church. There's people that have made other things the center of their life. Father, help us just put you back in the center. If you're here today and God is simply just calling you out of your comfort zone, would you just take a bold step and stand up? God is calling you out of your comfort zone. Just stand up where you are and say, yeah, I've become comfortable. Just stand up where you are. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. We're all here in it together and all here for the same thing, to glorify God in our actions and in our steps. I talked to a friend of mine that owns a business the other day and asked how he was. And he said, well, my business was going so smooth, I took my hands off the wheel and it started to slip. And I'm just trying to get my hands back on the wheel. And today that may be you. Life is good. Life isn't bad. You're not doing bad things. But because it got comfortable and good and smooth, you took your eyes off God and made it your journey. Today maybe God is telling you, I need to be the center of your life. You have sports, activities, band. You have other people. You have a relationship that's a higher priority than me. If God is telling you to put Him in the center of your life, will you stand up today? Stand up and acknowledge that and say, God, I want to put You back in the center. It doesn't mean you're doing evil things. Maybe God is calling you just to put Him back in the center. Would you stand up where you are today and acknowledge that? Maybe you're in distress today and God is simply saying, I'm here for you. I'm just waiting on you to call out to me. Would you stand up where you are today if you're in distress? And that could be financial distress, physical distress, emotional, relationship. If you just feel you're in distress somehow and need to call on God, would you stand up where you are? There's some here today that may not know the Lord. And as Scott said, sometimes you just need an invitation and someone to keep pushing you. Maybe someone to threaten you to come to church and know God because they know how good it is for you. If you need a relationship with Jesus Christ today, that'll be life-changing, life-altering. Will you stand up where you are today and allow us to pray for you and pray with you? If there's anybody today, and then finally, today, Lord, I know there's a lot of people here that are sick, that have health issues ahead of them. Would you stand up today and allow us to come together in prayer for you, for the healing of your body, for the healing of somebody else's body, a relative's body? Lord, I know there's a lot of hurt, pain, affliction out there. A lot of people in this church, God, that are hurting. Would you stand up if you're able? If you're not able to stand up, would you simply raise your hand up so we can acknowledge you and pray for you where you sit? Father, all these people standing today are calling on you for one reason or another. God, what I want to be different today is how they react to walking out of this church. Will they walk out of it the same way and come back the same way? Or Lord, will they go out today and truly call on you and truly seek you for help? Father, we pray for those afflicted today, those hurt, those struggling, those suffering, for the relatives of those here today. Lord, that they may have stood up to represent the relatives or the friends that are hurting. We ask for healing in their body, Lord, for peace in their life and comfort to them in their pain and their affliction. Lord, we know you are the ultimate physician, Lord. Would you guide everybody dealing with their hurt and their suffering and their pain? Guide them. Direct their steps. Direct their work. And be in the midst of their work. God, for those that are standing up today to say, Lord, I just need to be out of my comfort zone, would you give them boldness to find someone to help hold them accountable and say, just call me each day and check on me. Here's my weakness. I need help in this area. We had somebody last week that simply just said, I got to the end and I needed to change. Would you allow somebody in this church to help you through that change? God, to those that stood up today and just said, I need you in the center of my life. God, would you give them boldness to focus on you, to provide and make time for you each day, to read your word and to pray for you. And God, those that are just down they have distress in their life, and they simply need to call out on You. Lord, would You just reach down right now, wrap Your arms around them, and give them comfort and peace. Let them know that You're there for them. God, we ask that You hear all these prayers today. Lord, that You see all these needs, and God, that You see the needs that aren't represented here. Maybe the people that didn't stand up, but that have the need, God. You know each and every one of those. Would You give them boldness to stand up and acknowledge those to You? Maybe at home, maybe later in the week, but just to call out on You in private if they need to. God, we ask Your healing on this church body. We ask You to come down and touch each person here. Lord, to awaken us to a new calling, to a new calling of holiness, to a new journey to know You and to make You known to others, God. Help us realize that we're all on a journey and that we have not yet made it. But to encourage one another along the way, to call out on others to help us when we're slipping and stumbling and falling. God, we thank You for the message today brought in a different way, showing a different light. May it enrich our hearts today, Lord. We ask these things in Your Son's name.